Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the playing of our national anthem.
Baseball fans, you're listening to Fabes Babes.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
It is good. How are you guys?
That was a very exciting intro, might I add. Like that's right? It's very professional. I was excited about it.
Hey, thank you.
So fancy.
Yeah, I mean I've heard it. I've only heard it like a bajillion times. So
it's not as thrilling after the 270th yeah. time. Yeah.
Right.
That's fair.
So first of all, welcome back to our listeners. And I want to point out that we are so lucky to have Susie with us tonight from Bourbon and Baseball. And I can't wait to hear all about your podcast over there and just get to know you a little bit more.
This is a big moment. We are bringing Astros fans and Yankees fans together in peace. I feel like I'm like the monitor. This is a safe space.
You're the moderator.
Welcome. Yeah, I'm just everyone's here to make welcome. Sure there's not a throwdown on YouTube.
You know, like as long as we don't bring up juice balls, I think we're going to be okay. I'm just
and you know. Moving on.
No, just kidding.
But I want to say, like, I've been wanting to do this for so long. Like when I first started looking into podcasting and like baseball podcast, well, obviously baseball podcasts, but when I first started looking into all of this, like I've been a follower of yours for quite a while and I love your content, even though it is Astros.
Thank you.
But no. And so, yeah, like I'm really glad this is happening and sorry it took us so long to make it happen.
No worries. I have a mouse in my pocket. I have a kitten that's trying to get into my chair. But you know, I've been, oh, and here she is. Okay. She did make her
right on cue.
Awesome kitty.
Yeah. So if you're audio only, go to the YouTubes and you can see the adorable ears. This is her. Anyhow. We started the podcast. Shelby and I started the podcast a while back. And unfortunately, Shelby had to leave me because she hates me. She doesn't actually hate me, but she just got really busy. And so she unfortunately had to leave. And so I've been running it kind of by myself. And then I had a couple of really hard math classes. And I'm not that type of Asian that excels in the math really well. And so it took all of my brain power. So we were on a hiatus for a little bit. So, you know, but now we're back and Kelsey is my new co-host. I'm super excited about that. And we're going to
spoiler alert, official announcement.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations guys. And I want to ask you some more questions about that as we get into the show, but yeah, that's so exciting.
So I'm stoked. But I'm also super excited to be on y'all's show. Like, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. So before we get into, like, the heavy-hitting stuff, did you guys do anything fun over the weekend?
No.
I'm pretty boring. I have been enjoying being outside with my dogs before it's brutally cold here. And I went to yoga class, which was really lovely. But that's about it. Next weekend, I'm like starting to hit the holiday stuff hard, going to a cool light show at an arboretum. So
we're already starting
next week.
Crazy. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, next week is, well, I guess I'm going on Saturday of next week. So it won't be the week of Thanksgiving yet, but it's like, it'll be less than a week to Thanksgiving. So I figured I'd rather go to the thing at the Arboretum since it's fully outdoors while it's still maybe above freezing. So that was kind of my logic there. But I felt like it was a good way to kick off the holiday season. Do you guys have any decorations or anything up yet?
No. Oh, yeah.
No.
No.
Okay, Yankees fans, decorate early. Astros fans are going to wait until after Thanksgiving.
I'm a Grinch, and my birthday was Friday, and it was super lit. I drank a spiked lemonade and did homework and watched Hallmark movies. It was awesome. It was
awesome. I did see that. So happy birthday, belated.
Thank you. So yeah, my husband was like, we'll wait until after your birthday to put up Christmas decorations. I'm all, thanks. I appreciate that. And I've got 8-year-old twin girls. So they are just absolutely thrilled that they can have the Christmas tree and have the lights and all the things. And I'm all, fine, I guess I'll be magical and do things and be a mom, whatever. So I'm not thrilled with it. Not thrilled with it, but whatever.
So you just not like Christmas? Sorry.
No, I just don't like decorating. Well, no, I just don't like decorating. I'll just, you know, and I've got the cats that now, like, I'm worried about them climbing Christmas trees. And so
that's real.
Yeah. That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's something I've never had to deal with. But dogs get into them too.
Yeah.
You know, my dogs like, one of my dogs likes to lay underneath the Christmas tree and pretend like he's a present. And that's like his favorite spot. Like the entire Christmas season, he will lay underneath the Christmas tree. I'm like, I'm going to put a bow on you. And so that you would just match with all the presents. But yeah.
So cute.
What were you saying about your sister?
So her birthday is December 5th. And my mom always had this rule, like, we can't decorate until after her birthday. So
that makes sense. I get it when it aligns. You don't want it to like cut into another celebration, because I'm very big on that. So
yeah, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, my brother and I, so my brother's birthday is like the 28th and mine's the 31st.
Of December?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, if anyone's cut into that holiday, it was my brother and I having to share it. And so like, I don't know why she got the like pass, but
you have to take them all down by the 27th.
Right.
Right.
New Year's Eve actually is on a different day because you don't have to share your birthday.
Yeah.
No kidding. So anyway, I feel like in adulthood that made me more like, yeah, I'm going to decorate when I want to decorate. So now I did that. I did all the things this weekend.
I'll see. And everyone's like, wait until after. And I was like, you know what? Like, it's really not hurting you. Like, if you don't want to decorate right now, like, don't decorate right now, you know, like, right. And if you want to, or if you want to, you know, like, if you want to wait till after Thanksgiving, what's it doing? You know?
So no, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm just super grinchy. Cause I want to be lazy and I don't actually want to decorate. So
it is a lot of work.
It is. And like, we just bought our house last year. So this is just our second year in our house. And it's just like, this is so much more work than when we just had a condo.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, I really need to like sparse this out over like a few days instead of trying to like cram it all into one.
That's part of the reason that I think I like to decorate like sooner rather than later, is because I don't like to do it all at once. That's what as you guys were talking, I'm like, oh, this is why. Like, you put the lights and then you put up the tree and then you put up the tree. It has lights on it, but then you decorate it like the next weekend or whatever. So yeah, it just continues the fun and is less work seemingly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Christmas, I know we all grew up on the JCPenney's Christmas catalog era. And so I want to just jump in and ask you guys, what is your, like, what would be your one thing that you would circle out of that catalog, or a few things that you would like, give me your off-season wish or like wishes. What would you be circling, even though you know that it's not, there's no chance that Santa's bringing you that? Because I did that a lot as a child. It was like that big ass, like big screen TV, like that would take up my entire wall in my bedroom.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of stuff I would always circle, even though I knew I wasn't getting those things. So give me yours. If you want to mull on it, I can jump into mine real quick and give you guys some time to think about it.
Well, I have one that's not like player driven. I would love Kevin Kiermaier just like wrapped in a bow underneath my tree. That would be
Just
delightful.
in general.
Just in general. Like I mean, like his, you know, baseball capabilities put aside, I would love Kevin Kiermaier just, you know, wrapped in a bow and nothing else. I'm just saying there. That would be delightful. But if you mean actual, you know, like baseball acumen, he's not up there on my list. No. I personally would love Mitch Garver for the Astros, and we need a
Oh,
backup
that's fun.
catcher who can also DH, maybe play a little bit of first. And I would love, you know, his bat also in the lineup. You know, he was batting what, fifth, I want to say, for the World Series champion Texas Rangers.
She said it
And
both.
yeah. And so, you know, the fact that I think I want to say his like slash line was like 287. I don't remember what his OBP was. I think it was like in the 300s, but his slug was like 500. I'm all, in what world is your backup catcher slugging 500? That would just be the most delightful thing in the entire world, especially, you know, since we had such a light hitting catcher to begin with. And so, that would be my wish list for, you know, actual like baseball capabilities.
What do you think the chances are? Like, how realistic is that? Is that one that you might actually get, or you're just
Abso-fucking-lutely
playing it anyway?
not. No. He I think this is his first like big free agent payday. So there's no way that we're gonna shell out the money that A, that he deserves, and B, that, you know, that he's going to require for a backup pitcher. You know, it's
Sure.
like Austin Hedges, come on down. Like, defensive, yes. Hitting capabilities, no. You're not gonna be too expensive. Let's go.
You'll work.
So, yeah.
And the Astros have to be really conscious of like next year, right? Because Altuve and Bregman are both going to be free agents. So signing somebody big like right now is just probably not in the cards, right?
Well, we've I've I say I've crunched numbers. Again, I'm not that Asian, so I've really not really crunched numbers. But going like looking over various like articles and stuff and kind of gleaning information from various friends, they are basically saying that like if we go over the luxury, like the level one luxury tax, like that's just fucking pointless. Like, you just go over to
Yeah,
this
we're gonna
to
do it.
almost like that second level, until, you know, basically like right up until that, so that, you know, we don't like lose draft picks or, you know, whatnot, or the, no, is it international money that we lose? One of those two.
I'm
But
not entirely sure. It's always changing a little bit.
it's one of those. It's
Put on
either like
that, by the
international
way.
money or like draft picks or draft lottery, or I don't remember, something like that. But essentially, if we re-sign Altuve and Bregman to the contracts that they like technically deserve or whatnot, yeah, it's gonna be massive. So I don't even know what's gonna happen. I don't. I'm like, well, let's just hope for the best. Maybe everybody will just take a hometown discount and
Hey,
stay
you never
here.
know.
Let's hope. Let's hope.
Well, the good
Yeah.
thing is that they are very much still contenders, even if they do little or nothing.
Yeah.
And that might just be what happens. There are always off seasons that are like less exciting than others, but personally for the Cardinals, this better not be one of those off seasons because we need pitching. At the very least, but we really, really need pitching. We need like the top five things that we need are like pitching, 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 more pitching and pitching.
Yeah.
So Yoshinobu Yamamoto is the only thing on my Christmas list. Santa Mosellock, he is all I want. I'm gonna circle him on every page. I know I'm not gonna get him, but I want him so bad.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I would, yeah, take my chances on, write all my letters to Santa about, and have really no realistic hope for. So I guess my realistic one would be that I'd still be excited to get, that I'm more optimistic about. It would be Sonny Gray. I think he's a much more realistic fit for the Cardinals, for a team-friendly deal, for a shorter deal. So it's not that I wouldn't be excited about him. It's just, you know, he's at a different point in his career. He's almost 10 years older than Yamamoto. And I would take both of them more than anything. So that's what I'm wishing for this Christmas. Jonna, the Yankees are, I don't want to say they're kind of somewhere in between the Astros and the Cardinals. What are you wishing for that's maybe a little unrealistic?
So, well, we obviously need to address the hole in the outfield. So for me, that would be Juan Soto, but that's probably, that's not happening. I guess as
a girl can dream, right?
Right. So Scott Boras said the other day that, Soto is definitely in the Padres 2024 plans.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all know that they need to free up some money and that might be a good way for them to do it. I think it's my feeling that they're open to hearing offers, but I don't know that they're going to act on anything. It would have to be price is absolutely right. And I don't know if the Yankees would be able to put together a package that would be appealing to them, because one, who are we going to give them into? The Yankees don't like to give up their prospects. They hold on to them, and that's why we can't ever make these big deals happen. So I don't know. So that's my wish, but probably not likely.
But would you throw Fernando Tatis Jr. out of bed? You know what I'm saying? If you're not going to get Juan Soto, Fernando Tatis Jr. would be, a decent second place prize, I guess. I would take Nando in a heartbeat and throw him, probably not in right. I'd throw him in, I don't know where I'd throw him, because center field is Chaz McCormick's, damn it. But I would throw Fernando Tatis Jr. somewhere out there in the outfield. We'd figure it out.
Yeah, he won the Platinum Glove, you guys. His first time playing the outfield. Astro. I can't believe that.
I would love that. He would make some catches out there. Tell you what, I'll put Nando in right. I'll move Tucker to left, and then Chaz McCormick in center field, and we're good. That'll be the most reliable outfield ever.
Mm-hmm.
So who is your, what's your more realistic thing that you think will happen this offseason for you guys? I mean, you mentioned yours, Kelsey, but.
Yeah, sorry, I just ran with mine.
odds are we are going to pick up a light hitting defensive backup, more veteran catcher. So, be that Austin Hedges or. I swear on everything. I would take Higgy in a heartbeat. Okay. But if we resign Martin Maldonado, I swear on everything, you will just find me on the tallest freaking building in Houston and I will just jump over. Cause
is he a free agent?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. And before last season, and that was the whole reason we didn't sign Wilson Contreras, because Martin Maldonado was not going to be a backup. So it's already out there that he didn't want to be a backup. And then all of a sudden now he's willing to be a backup when.
Well, JV loves throwing to him, right? So that's yeah.
Don't even get me started on that. Give me Gary Sanchez. I'll take Gary Sanchez.
Gary. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe he'll have a return season.
Anything.
Somebody picks him up.
I want to say that his slash line wasn't too much worse than Mitch Garver's slash line this last season. He was Blake Snell's personal catcher. He was raking in San Diego. So I'm like, literally anything at this point would be better than what we had. So they've already said, you know, like Yainer Diaz is going to be our starting catcher.
Okay.
And we just need a backup now, you know, because the boy can't play all of the games, which I'm a little still mad about, but whatever.
A lot more than last year. So that's good. Yeah, there's probably some really interesting options there. So that'll be a good one to watch.
Yeah.
That's like one of the more like, you know, intricate puzzle pieces that's not as like glaringly obvious. So it is fun to speculate on those.
But yeah, it is rumored though that Martin Maldonado will be coming back as the backup catcher. And I swear if that happens, you will have to find me. And probably put me in a padded room because
pull out all the stuffs.
it's not gonna be pretty if that happens. It's not gonna be pretty.
Well, Jana, we were talking earlier today about how, you know, Brian Cashman obviously has a lot of faith in the Yankees from his press conference this week at the GM meetings. But what do you think he realistically might actually do if if Juan Soto is not available?
So, I mean, as I said, we need another lefty in the lineup, and so I could see them. I think they will be competitive with Bellinger, and from everything that I've read, or the Cubs and the Yankees are going to be the highest contenders for him. But he's a guy that's going to want a really long contract and a really good contract and deserves it. And the Yankees have a lot tied up in long contracts right now. So I don't know if he's our guy just because of that, because I just can't see them like signing away another like 9-year deal. And I think that's probably what he'll get. So
that's a good point.
Even though you say like, what's your realistic one? Like I can see it, but then I know like there've been names tossed around like Brendan Donovan.
Yes. Don't and
I know you don't want to go there.
Probably being here, but.
but like a guy like that is probably most realistic.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is the Yankees outfield now?
So last year left field was really like a crapshoot. It was Aaron Hicks. Decided they were gonna roll with, and then they like outright or DFA'd him, and then obviously the Orioles picked him up. And then he of course raked with them. Yeah. So but we had like Oswaldo Cabrera. We had some other random names you've probably never heard of playing in left. And then obviously at the end of the year, we brought up the Martian and he was playing in center. And then,
Bader was hurt most of the year. So
we needed to address that issue last year and we didn't. And
well, then he got traded to the Reds.
Yeah.
So I've actually heard his name thrown around a little bit too. I could kind of see the Yankees picking him back up because Dominguez is going to be out this year. So they just need like something to fill that hole for now. And I could honestly see them doing something like that because it's probably more appealing to the front office right now than tying up such a long contract with those other options.
So. Yeah, that's a good point because he isn't someone who is likely to, well, he's not a free agent yet though, right? Or is he?
He is.
Okay. Yeah. So he's not someone who I would say is going to get a super long contract necessarily, especially because he didn't play most of last year. He was hurt the year before too. And when he has played other than that amazing postseason that he had with the Yankees, he hasn't really performed up to potential, but I do think he's a really good fit with the Yankees. And he obviously likes being there. So I totally agree. I would not be surprised at all to see that happen.
I think that's probably the most likely scenario that I've mentioned.
How's Rizzo doing?
I think he's good. I think he's ready to go.
I saw what some picture with Aaron Judge's wife or something that they went to the marathon to watch or something. And I was like, I totally forgot about Rizzo, like over there at first, not playing because or playing it through is, the concussion. Like,
That, like, first of all, what a misstep there. I don't understand how, like, the doctors, the Yankees, like, medical staff missed that, because we all could tell something was seriously wrong. And, like, he would do these post-game interviews, and we were like, that was that even English? Like, it just didn't make any sense.
That's so scary.
Yeah, and so it was very obvious something was going on. And I don't know if they were just pushing it, because at the time, like, Judge and Stanton were both out. And so I don't know if they were just like, we have, like, no freaking options. Like, we have to keep him out there. But as far as I know, he's doing really well in his recovery. Now, his name has also been mentioned in a potential trade deal to get Juan Soto. But I don't know, like, if there's any, like, real truth to them actually doing that. Again, it's the Yankees, and I think they, like, they think that people are going to just fall for anything that they throw at. Like, they just don't ever put their best foot forward in these things. So, but yeah, the one other thing I was going to mention is that they are going to be trying to pick up a starting pitcher as well.
Would be duking it out for starting pitchers.
Yes. Yeah. But you guys need it more than we do. I do hope that that happens for you. But I have heard that the Yankees and Mets are probably going to be the highest contenders for Yamamoto. And I don't know if there's, well, I don't know what truth there is to that either, but that's another scenario though, where it's like, this guy's going to get a 9 or 10 year deal. Like, I just, and we have such a long contract already with, like, Carlos Rodon and, like, Cole, but Cole has an option out next year. So
a player option or a club option or mutual option?
Mutual option.
Oh, okay.
So it might just be player option. At the very least, he has an option out. So they have to, they have to put their best foot forward to keep him. Like, they have to put together a good season.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Harrison Bader's in your stocking. You might just get him.
Yeah. You know, I would not mind that at all.
You're like, da-da-da-da. Here you go.
And to my knowledge, he hasn't grown the facial hair out since he's
He never really had facial hair. It was more his long.
It was more his long hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. He does look like he's still rocking the short look from his off-season Instagram.
And I know he's been, like, he was at the Garden the same night that Judge was there with his wife, like, for a Knicks game a few weeks ago. So I don't know if they were together. But
Quite possibly.
Yeah. So.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was looking up Garrett Cole's, and it's a player opt-out. So.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. 4 years, $144 million remaining. My brain can't even, like, wrap around that, like, amount of money. I'm like, wait, what? That's just so silly. Anyways.
No, I was
I think he loves New York, and, like, he grew up a huge Yankees fan, and I think he, like, always dreamed of being in New York, but I don't know. Like, that can change. It's not the same organization than it used to be, so. Yeah. But
we'll wait to see what shows up underneath our tree. Fingers crossed.
Kevin Kiermaier, come on. That's my personal tree. That's not under the Astros.
Who's your, like, crush guy that you would like wrapped under your tree, Kelsey?
Well, I have been asking my husband probably since the day after I met him to, like, joking with him about making me a calendar of, like, him in baseball pants. And he did it this year, you guys. He made it for my birthday. And I actually just turned the calendar to November, you know, like, yesterday on November 11th, because that's how I roll. I really have it together. But I turned it to the November page, and it's, like, one of the best ones yet, where he actually is not only wearing his baseball pants and his Cardinals jersey, but he's holding my 20-pound cat, who absolutely hates to be held and hated him for, like, the first 6 years that they knew each other. But anyway, so I gotta say, like, when I'm thinking if I could take a pic of a guy in baseball pants under my tree, I got him.
Oh, well, that's amazing. That's an adorable answer, Kelsey. And now, I love that.
Wasn't I telling you last week that I realized, because we were talking about your Kevin Kiermaier thing, is like he has dark hair and light eyes, and my husband has dark hair and light eyes. Adam Wainwright has dark hair and light eyes. And I was like, Susie, I realized that I'm not going to say my husband looks like Adam Wainwright, who I've been in love with since I was 9 years old, but he definitely like has Adam Wainwright's look. So
see, like my husband also has dark hair and blue eyes, but in no world would you ever confuse my husband and Kevin Kiermaier. So that's not a thing that
I hope he's not listening.
he knows like anytime I see Kevin Kiermaier, I'm like, yes, thank you. Yeah. And Chris Bryant, he's like, you do have a type. Oh, don't God.
I hate how attractive Chris Bryant is. I don't like him. So I'm like, why? Like, why do you have to be beautiful? Get off my screen.
Yeah.
He is. And when it was him and Rizzo too, I don't know if it was just like the bromance there, but it like made him even more attractive. Now I'm like, he's not as attractive since he's a Rockies player.
Yeah, that Rockies contract didn't really do anything.
Not doing it for him.
No, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy my millions up here and be injured for a long time. Like, it's okay, guys.
Live in Denver. Love it.
Right?
Can't blame him, I guess.
I know. No, he got his bag. He got a ring. He got his bag. He's good to go now. And I'm all, are you though, Chris Bryant? Like, you kind of made me disappointed. I know that was, you know, your entire life fulfillment wish was to, you know, what does Susie think of me? That's, I know, but it's all right.
That's why Kevin Kiermaier is what you're wishing for this year. Could have been you, Chris Bryant. Could have been you.
Very disappointed.
Well, moving on to our main segment. I don't know. I thought that we could just give you like a chance to just like introduce yourself, talk about your background in baseball and kind of how you became a big fan and more specifically an Astros fan. And then just like tell us what you have up your sleeve for your podcast. Anything okay. You want to say.
I became a fan of baseball in general in 2018, kind of after, you know, the whole World Series. And really it started because my husband woke me up out of a deep sleep after game five, or like during game five of the 2017 World Series. And he's like, oh my God, Bregman walked it off in the 10th. I don't know what those words mean. Like, you strung them together in a sentence and I don't know what you're talking about, you know? And I was really mad at him because he woke me up out of a deep sleep. And I'm like, why would you do that? You know, I don't care anything about baseball. That's not nice. And, you know, so one, you know, the World Series in 2017 and then like 2018, I kind of started watching baseball, but I was like super confused on all of the things. And I would just tell him routinely, like, watching paint dry is more exciting than watching baseball, because this is absolutely ridiculous. Why does it take like 43 minutes in between each pitch and they have to like fix their batting gloves and fix their hat and like touch their crop? What is happening? Why must they do it all? And I was like, it's seriously every time in between pitches, like, what's going on? And he's like, that's what they do. That's what ball players do. And I'm all, that's dumb. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But, you know, so I was like, okay, so like the shortstop, like you got to be short to play shortstop. Like, it's in the name. And he's all, nope. But that's Jose Altuve. And he plays second base. I'm all, that's dumb. Also dumb. Like, he's really short. Like, it's in the name. And he's all, no, our shortstop is Carlos Correa. And I'm all, no, he's very tall. The whole thing is just dumb. Baseball is dumb. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. And, you know, started like watching more games and just really like Astros games in and of itself. And then 2019 came and, you know, we went back to the World Series. But at that point, I was more into Astros baseball and not like the entirety of MLB. And so I was like, Max Scherzer, I don't know who this guy is. Like, right, Steven Strasburg, you know. And it wasn't until literally this season that I like remembered Steven Strasburg and was like, oh, you mean like World Series MVP Steven Strasburg? And I was like, I watched that World Series. I don't have a fucking clue who this person is. And everyone's like, wow, Susie, I'm all sorry, you know? And so, you know, 2020 happened, the pandemic, and then there was literally only like, you can only watch the things on TV. And so that's what I binged during the 2020 season. And then I got into playing fantasy baseball. And then I really, really learned about all of the teams. And so fantasy baseball happened in like the 21 season. And I watched all of the baseballs for all of the positions and just kind of really like correctness there is. I don't know. And started talking to my husband a lot about it. And he's like, for the love of God, can you just not talk to me about it? Can you talk to anybody else about baseball? Just anybody else. I don't even care. Just not to me. And I was listening to a lot of baseball podcasts and a lot of baseball podcasts. I don't know if you guys know this, but they are male driven.
What?
Yes. You would surprise. And so that a lot of male driven podcasts, a lot of old male driven podcasts. And I was like, you know, I have my own old white guy to talk to me. Like, I don't want to be talked to about like any other old white guys. Like, is there anything else? Anybody else? And so I found a couple of women led baseball podcasts, but a lot of them didn't give me a lot of like meaty baseball talk. That sounded weird, but it was a lot of like, you know, and this is going to sound horrible after I literally just got done, you know, slobbering over Kevin Kiermaier, but it was a lot of like, oh my God, that guy is just so hot, blah, 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 you know? Yeah. And it wasn't like talking about the games or, you know, his OBP or, you know, whatever. And so it's like, okay, well, this is all right, I guess. And then there was just some like women podcasts that I'm all, oh my gosh, I want to shove like rusty spoons in my ears instead of listening to you. Just stop talking. And so I talked about it a little bit more with my husband and he's like, why don't you start a baseball podcast? I'm all, why would I do that? That's like stupid. And he goes, well, that it's a niche that's not been filled. Yeah. Like a girl, like female podcaster talking about like actual baseball. I'm all, okay. But I don't want to talk to myself. He goes, no. He's like, find someone to do it with. And I'm all, who am I going to talk about? I was like, so. And then in my big girl job, I'm a photographer. And so I did a lot of high school senior photography. And one of my past clients was a D1 softball player. Got a full ride to UH and was like all of the accolades. And she, her girlfriend would also get tired of her talking to her about baseball.
There you go.
And was like, oh my God, this would be perfect. And so I hit her up and I was like, Shelby, come talk about baseball. And she was like, done, let's do it. So that's how Bourbon and Baseball was born, was because I didn't want old white guys talking at me about baseball. I wanted a female voice that talked about baseball, that talked about the Astros, but you know, overall in general about baseball, because we both liked other teams as well. And so that's where that idea came from. And then she got too busy for me and I was very sad. But yeah, so now Kelsey has joined me and I'm super stoked about that. So right now Kelsey is going to be recording with me like once a week and we're going to talk about all of the balls, all the baseballs. And during in season, I have my co-host from my Pro Sports Fan app thing that I'll talk to you guys about in just a second. Tom, he will come on and we'll record once per series. So like at the end of the series, we'll talk about it.
Oh, nice.
And so we'll get like all of the baseball edition and then like an Astros edition. So it'll fulfill all of my niches and all of the baseball talk. And so that'll be fun during the season. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I just like this off season, I came to this like sort of revelation of like, oh my God. I mean, I've always been a baseball fan my entire life, but I think I was like you, where I was like really just into the Yankees, you know, for so many years that I didn't stop and appreciate like other teams and players. And in my head, I was just like, I just hate that team. Like, I hate that team. And, like, I didn't really like take the time to get to like know how they operate. And just now I feel like I have such a whole new appreciation for baseball in general and like MLB across the board and just certain players that I'm like invested in and excited to see where they go. And so, yeah, I feel like if anything, that's like what this podcast has provided for me is just like a whole new level of appreciation and just probably much deeper knowledge too of what's happening out there. So, and then just this platform, like you said, like a platform where women can come together and talk. Like, to me, that is something I've never had before. And I go out like into the world after podcasting and I don't have anyone to talk to about it.
Right.
And that's all I want to talk about. So it's just been so amazing to have like you here, Kelsey, and have this place to do that.
Yeah, it is way better also than some of the banter that you get into on Twitter where you're like, this is nice and fun sometimes, but it's still not like actually talking, you know, person to person. So I agree. And that's the biggest thing that I really learned over the first year or so of podcasting now is that I am very passionate and want to talk about all of baseball. I have my fandom and I'm attached to certain players over others or whatever, but that's really league wide for me. And it kind of always has been, but it's gotten even worse now that I'm, you know, have more of a reason to closely follow. And it's cool because by doing these episodes with y'all, I feel like I'm also like, I feel like I have some kind of personal connection to the Yankees. And now I have some kind of personal connection to the Astros, even though like I don't.
Right.
But you know, like I feel like, you know, well, I know Susie's watching this and I know Donna's invested in this. So, I kind of feel like I am too. And I agree. It's just a really great camaraderie sort of thing. And that's why we all fell in love with baseball to begin with, is because of the atmosphere, the environment, and the camaraderie of going to a game and being there with family and friends. And that's just like the nature of the game. So,
yeah. Let me ask y'all, do you guys keep score?
I used to be obsessed with keeping score. When I got really into baseball, I was like 12 or 13, and I saw the book being kept at my brother's baseball games, who was a few years younger than me. But I probably didn't even ask my dad. I probably just was like, I'm going to make up my own scorebook. I made my own scorebook in like Microsoft Word or something. I like made, you know, in 1999 or something. No, I don't know. On my first Mac, I somehow figured out how to make tables and made my own scorebook. It is nothing like an actual scorebook, but I made my own scorebook and I still have this binder at my parents' house of like, I would keep score for every game. And I did eventually learn how to actually keep score. And I have a scorebook and I enjoy doing it from time to time. I have a really hard time doing it in person at the game because I just like to kind of take everything in. But I do like to do it from time to time. How about you, Jonna? Do you keep score?
I don't. I mean, I do only when I'm writing. I cover the Yankees for the Jersey Sporting News, and I don't keep the book for Yankees games because like I'm a fan and I just have to like, I can't be doing that. I need to be like, and I'm like, you know, clutching the entire time. But I did cover the College World Series this last summer. So I obviously kept score for all of those. And that was like so fun. I mean, when you're not like super invested in who, you know, who's playing and stuff, I think it's really fun to just a good way to like be into the game. So yeah. How about you?
Now, that's going to be my kind of like off-season project, kind of basically like learning how to keep score. Todd Callis, who's the Astros play-by-play guy, he literally has his own playbook that like he cut and pasted bits and pieces of other playbooks together.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And the Astros actually like took that and printed it, and it's Todd Callis's like playbook.
Nice.
And so I got one of those this season, and I was like, no, I'm not going to start it now. I'm not going to start it like mid-season. I can't do that. Like, it's going to be like game one that we go, you know?
Clean so that's slate, like full yeah. season.
So that's my off-season goal now, is to kind of like learn how to, because like I kind of understand how to, but I just know that I'm going to be all, wait, that was a flyout. Hold on. Was it a flyout? And then when they like go back and say that, the error really wasn't an error, I'm going to be so mad that I'm going to have to cross things out. I just know myself. I'm like, oh, I'm like, thank you. My OCD is going to be super awesome. But I, you know, like for the love of the game, I know it's going to be good for me.
Maybe. It'll take you to another level.
Let's hope.
You're ready. It's time to add it on.
Yeah. My husband's always like, I am surprised that you don't keep score. I'm all, why would I keep score? That's what Twitter is for.
Right. I've got that interaction to worry about. It is a lot. Can you imagine like trying to live tweet the games and keeping score?
Ooh. It's going to be, maybe I'll just do the games that I'm doing for PSF. Maybe that's what I don't know. We'll see.
That's like your New Year's.
Your followers are going to need you. They're going to be like, where is this girl?
Yeah.
Like what?
We'll see what happens. Maybe I'll split my time.
But. It surprises me whenever we're reminded that the broadcasters do keep score, because I'm just like, how are they? But I mean, when you do it that many times, that's what the refs are for, right? Yeah. It's just like they're doing that in their sleep while they're commentating. But yeah. I do think it's crazy that they do both at the same time.
Yeah. And Todd Callis does like different colors. He does different colors for like different things. And I'm all, now that's impressive. Like, so like strikeouts are red, I want to say, and if like a regular out is just like blue, I'm all, wow. All right. Like, do you have like a clicky pen? You know, those like clicky pens that have all of the colors.
Yeah. That's what you need. Right?
I'm like, is that what you're doing? Or are you literally picking up different pen? I was impressed, but no.
You have a reason to pull out your gel pens from.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah. It's an off-season goal. It's an off-season goal. It'll be interesting.
That's a good one.
That's a good off-season goal. And that actually like really inspires me to come up with an off-season goal myself. Like just something I can learn or a course I can take or something.
Jonna, we'll have to do like a New Year's resolution episode, but it'll be like baseball or baseball fandom resolutions.
Yeah. Yes. I figure it's either that or like learn Spanish. And I feel like maybe learning how to keep a score is going to be a little bit easier than learning Spanish. So
that's probably true. Yeah. That's a really good resolution though. It's one I've had on and off for a while. It's like the math part of your brain. Like you were talking about hating math, me too. I swear it's like the same part of your brain. Yeah. It's very challenging, but
we should all do a lingo and then just,
and then we'll force ourselves to do an episode in Spanish. That'll be real good.
Yes.
Let's make that like our 2026 resolution right. In a while, but if we start now,
right. That's
well, so that would like broaden who we could bring on our podcast. Totally. Right. Like,
right.
So
like
many players that probably don't go on any.
Yeah, it is wildly impressive to me, the broadcasters who can do both and do it so well. Like I just think it's so cool and it's so important because, it creates a different kind of platform and level of connection for those players. And it's time that we started to get on their level the same way that they all get on ours. So,
okay. Yeah. So I'm adding Japanese to my...
Yep. I'm like, Korean should already be in my vocabulary. It's just not, because you know, like that's just not one of the languages that I speak, as if I speak any other language besides English. But you know, Jung Hoo Lee, I promise at some point in time we will be able to communicate.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Kelsey, tell us what's going on with Peace, Love, and Baseball over there. You are
like
a year and a half mark.
Almost. I think I am recording my 61st episode tomorrow, and I have been, the kind of challenge that I guess I've given myself for the off season is that I am recording my episodes, or I guess live. They are recorded, but I'm doing them live on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Central, because I, you know, from between doing this and just doing those episodes for a while now, I feel, you know, more comfortable with just kind of going for it and exploring, you know, the interactive features of the chat and all that good stuff that we have to offer by doing it live. So I'm giving that a go. And while a lot of it is covering, you know, the big headlines that are always going on baseball wide, I always find some way to tie it into something that has absolutely nothing to do with baseball, because that was my whole purpose of starting the podcast, right? Is because everything has something to do with baseball, and baseball is representative of everything. And so there's always some really random fun through lines. And the episode that I'm actually doing tomorrow is a gift guide episode, ooh, which I did last year at this time, and it was really fun. I love giving gifts. Like, personally, I swear my love language is not receiving gifts. It is giving gifts. I'm like, I just love finding the perfect things to pick out for people. So not only will we give gift recommendations for all different types of people in your life, but all different price points and all that good stuff, and talk through like the mentality of finding a good gift.
Oh.
And then of course, with that, we got to talk about our off-season Christmas lists around Major League Baseball as well. So we'll have some fun conversation around that too. But yeah, we'll do some fun stuff in line with the holidays, and it's just, we're just keep clicking along. But I'm very open to suggestions of things that people want to hear. So if you listen to an episode and you're like, I have this idea and it seems like it really vibes with what you're putting down here, you can hit me up and let me know. And what's really cool for me is I've got all different angles of baseball between, you know, my take on kind of the wellness, entertainment, and baseball world with peace, love, and baseball. I'm now like cheersing bourbon and just cussing like sailors over on Bourbon and Baseball with
Susan. What we're here for. It's what we're here for.
And we continue to, you know, cover all aspects of baseball, not just Major League Baseball, but women in baseball, the media side, whether it's coaches. You know, we've had so many interesting people and just parts of the game itself, like outside of any organization that we continue to dive into here. So I feel like I have the best of all the baseball worlds, and that's keeping me really excited to keep doing it all.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I'm excited to see, like, it's really been cool to watch your growth in it, even though like I wasn't tuned into Peace, Love, and Baseball immediately when you started, but I was there like pretty early on.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so to see like that grow and just us continue to grow. And I think that you guys are going to do an amazing job on Bourbon and Baseball, and I can't wait to hear you guys. That'll be fun.
Susie told me earlier that she's going to try to get me to do some singing segments. So she wants me to like sing about my feelings or like write a song on the spot about things. So bourbon is definitely going to have to be involved if that ever happens. But
well, you know, I'm not picky. Like, it doesn't have to be bourbon. It can be vodka. It can be tequila. It's whatever.
Okay.
Whatever alcohol.
Whoever gets those vocals right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you all see, actually speaking of wish lists, I guess, and singing, my favorite thing that Cubs fans have ever done was last season when they were standing outside of Wrigley Field and they were caroling, Correa, come play in Chicago. And I was like, that's brilliant.
I did see that one.
I don't know if I did see that. That's amazing.
Didn't work. But when we were talking about singing earlier, that was like immediately what I thought. I was like, I could sing stupid shit like that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm
here for it.
It's like Scott Boris puns to music. That's really what I need to workshop. Okay.
Exactly. See, and we'll just clip those parts and we'll put those on the interwebs and then we will go viral and it will be delightful. Okay.
Check.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's to come for 2024. Big things ahead.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. Stay tuned, y'all.
I will stay tuned. All right. Well, moving on. So I just wanted to like touch on a few things on the hot stove before we close out for the night. So I don't know, Kelsey, if you could give us sort of a rundown of like what's taken place in the Cardinals world, if anything has taken place. And yeah, what, like you've already kind of touched on the moves that you see them making, but anything you want to update us on?
Yeah, they made a couple depth moves that are, you know, not super sexy or exciting, but made sense. The thing that we're kind of all waiting with bated breath for is the Yadier Molina announcement of him joining the coaching staff, which has been put out there and covered that that is very likely going to happen. It's just in what capacity and what his role is going to be. So that is probably the next thing that I'm anticipating us hearing about. And yeah, after that, it's really just holding our breath and seeing if the Cardinals, unlike the Yankees, do not have a lot of money tied up in contracts. In fact, they've freed a lot of money up and they've made a lot of money on a number of retirement tours over the past few years. So the money is there. Will they spend it and how will they spend it is the real question. And they went from already saying that they needed to get three starting pitchers to now saying they're looking for 2.5 starting pitchers. So that doesn't have me feeling any better about the potential, but it sounds like what Mozeliak is trying to get across to us is that we're really looking for two, you know, top of the rotation guys and maybe a swing man who they can throw in and out as needed. So we'll see. I would be happy with that at this point, but really just, yeah, keeping our heads down and hoping that they are willing to do what it takes to get the level of starting pitching talent that we really need, because I can look past literally everything else. They can make everything else work. Like that takes the pressure off of any other potential like bullpen issues, everything. Your whole team is different if you could set that top of the rotation up with the level of players that they really need. So just kind of sitting tight, hoping for Yadi and some good starting pitching. What are the Astros up to? They made a big announcement today.
They did. They did. Joe Espada has now been elevated from our bench coach to our actual manager. And that will be actually announced tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And I am freaking thrilled. Like, I'm so excited about that. And it's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming. And so
imagine having him and Rob Thompson in your coaching staff and letting both of them walk and go manage World Series worthy teams.
Well, but that's Brian Cashman's like whole point, you know, like everyone's coaching Yankees, you know, like Carlos Gomez is like the Mets' new manager, you know, like y'all have just trained him just so well that we, you know,
we have so many, he has to give them away, I guess.
Yeah. John is like, I hate all of you.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I hate it here. I really hate it here.
But yeah, so we're now looking, obviously for a new bench coach. And the word on the street kind of is that either Alex Cintron or why am I blanking on his name? Our first base coach, which was the manager of Venezuela. I'm just totally blanking on his name.
Yeah. I know.
Like, I can envision his face. And as soon as someone says his name, I'm like, yes, that guy. Regardless, he's our first base coach right now. Either one of those are maybe moved up to bench coach. But Gary Pettis, who has been our longtime third base coach, who I want to say beat cancer a couple of seasons ago, is not going to be returning. And so we now need a bench coach and a third base coach. So we don't know if, you know, Dana Brown will go coach anybody else from the Braves, if, you know, Ron Washington hasn't taken them all, or what. So that's what we're on the lookout for.
Very good. Well, the only thing newsworthy, which you've already alluded to, is that Brian Cashman thinks that we are really fucking good. honestly, there's like nothing to report other than Carlos Mendoza is going across town, as you mentioned, to manage the Mets. So we are on the lookout for a bench coach. We are also on the lookout for a hitting coach because ours, oh, I guess we're not anymore because I think we did hire.
We
hired the bench coach from the who was with the Twins before, and he was with the Yankees like way back. So, and I'm blanking on his name too, but so they've filled that position, but yeah, we are now looking for a bench coach. And yeah, we did outright a bunch of guys, including Domingo Germán, who was, he embodied a lot of controversy. So, it'll be really interesting to see where he goes though. Like who's going to want to pick that guy up? I mean, like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, he just had a lot, like going, he had to go away for like alcohol rehab and I don't know, just a lot. So that, hopefully that freed up, because we did outright quite a few of our like, you know, lower end guys, but hopefully that freed up something for us. So
yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, the Yankees are not the only team by any means that have a lot of money tied up. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Yankees, the Mets, the Padres, how they make the fundamental changes that they definitely all need to make without really being able to be super competitive in the free agent market. They'll do it, but yeah, they're going to get creative.
Yeah. So as far as players go, like obviously, so I just have like a couple of the big ones that we should touch on, but if there's anybody else that you guys like that I'm missing here, just throw them out there. So with Ohtani, it's interesting to me that I feel like, not that he hasn't been in the news a lot because he has, but I felt like earlier during the season, like that was the only talk. And now I know. And like now that the off season is officially here, I feel like, and maybe because of his injury a little bit, there isn't as much, like there just hasn't been quite as much talk on him, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting because he's obviously out, or he will be off the mound until 2025. It's my feeling that I think the Dodgers will probably pick him up, but I do want to mention that I also feel like the Mariners could be in contention. And I think that's like far more exciting to me. One, they have J-Rod, and I think that's a big draw. Ichiro Suzuki was Ohtani's like idol growing up. And so I could also see him wanting to go there and kind of like fulfill that dream a little bit. And then three, I think because he does not seem to be like a big media guy, that being in Seattle would like probably more fit that for him being out of the limelight. So I don't know. That's just my feeling, but I want to hear what you guys think about him.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, that there hasn't been that much talk about Ohtani, and I really do think it's that injury, because if he was still able to pitch and obviously hit, I don't think we would stop talking about Ohtani and like where he'd be going, you know, but the fact that he's not going to be able to until 2025, and just, you know, I say just be a DH in like air quotes, because, you know, like you could do a whole hell of a lot worse than you know, light hitting Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
But I think, you know, obviously he's going to a contender, and I don't think the money is the big push. It's literally who can he win with, and because he wants to be the best player on the best team, you know, and so. I think when we talked about it earlier, Kels, like we talked that a lot of the teams would, you know, like be eliminated immediately, like the Orioles, because they're not gonna spend. But I think like the Dodgers, unfortunately, is a big contender, and I think the Rangers are also a freaking contender.
We all had to get really we have all had uncomfortable moments. Me with Brendan Donovan, Jonna, where we kind of trapped her with Cashman. So this is your moment.
Yeah. Just really anybody going over to the Rangers. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's that interdivision thing too. It's like the last place you want them to go is in your division. And so the fact that like there are two teams in your division that like, I don't know, could be likely options for him. That's scary.
Yeah. So I'm like, just stay with the Angels. Like, they're fine.
I think he might, y'all. I think there's a chance. I know it sounds like the craziest thing, and we would not be excited about it. But also, like, aren't the Angels notorious for like being the biggest buzzkill ever? Like, I just feel that's maybe part of it. Is I'm just like, we've all been talking about this for so long because last year it was like, they're gonna trade him. Where's he gonna get traded to? And that whole time I was like, he's not getting traded. Why are we talking about this? And he didn't get traded. So I don't know. Maybe that's why, because I was just so steadfast about that. But I also completely agree that, like, just straight common sense, Dodgers, they have had the ability to plan for this for a while. And it's obviously an attractive place for him to be, at least on the West Coast. They are, you know, a Class A organization through and through. They're competitive every year and so on. I completely agree though that the Mariners have like Shohei Ohtani vibes. Like, if I could pick an organization that I feel like he just fits with, throw everything else out the window, I probably would pick the Mariners for him. I like that a lot.
But I want to say though, there was some article or something that said that he initially didn't sign with the Mariners because of Ichiro, and because he didn't want to disrespect like that whole former Japanese player like thing. And I was all, oh yeah, I forget you're like a good Asian, and like respect is like a big thing for you.
That's really interesting.
And so it crossed off. So I want to say it like crossed off the Mariners. And didn't the Yankees have a super high profile?
Hideki Matsui. Yeah.
And so it crossed both of those off because of that. Like, he didn't want to show up, essentially, like that former like Japanese player. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like, knowing the Asian culture and all that, like he didn't want the comparisons. And so So that's like the only reason I would say, you know, like he would go to like the Dodgers or like hell, if the Giants made some moves, I feel like the Giants may be even, because I think they just have like money bags just burning holes.
They tried to throw it last year. Right? Yeah. They got it stocked away. It's sitting there ready for the right person. And it could be Shohei.
That's got me thinking, like, I don't know about the Angels and I don't know about the Giants is because I don't know if he would want to go where there's a brand new manager. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but Bob Melvin is not a brand new manager.
Well, I know, but.
Where there is like. Yeah. The thing about the Giants is, like, they haven't proven that they're ready to be competitive at the level that teams like the Dodgers have. And you could argue that the Angels haven't either, but that's why I think if he stays with the Angels, I mean, the Angels definitely haven't. Who am I kidding? But the Angels with, you know, the announcement about Ron Washington, and they have Mike Trout, they have the pieces. They're just being horribly mismanaged. So. Yeah. If they can somehow get on the same page. And I mean, I think it's weird to some extent the way that Cashman and co are being so like Aaron Judge basically runs this team. Like, I think that's a little weird, but if it works to a certain extent when you have the right players in your ear and helping you kind of make the connection, because it's gotta work and everybody has to work together from all angles. So maybe if Mike Trout and Ron Washington and having those pieces, and somebody can finally get to Artie Moreno and say, like, dude, you have everything in front of you. Just quit mixing up the puzzle pieces and put them
right.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. But if I do think if you were to sue the Angels or something like that, it would be a short deal with an opt out or, you know, something right. like that.
And yeah, as Susie mentioned, Ron Washington is bringing together like supposedly a real star-studded staff. So,
maybe
that's just all part of it.
I saw something about Eric Young is going to be either the bench coach or like first base coach or something like that.
Yeah.
And I watched a clip of him talking about doing outfield drills and basically like running routes and everything was like an X, and I'm all, that was highly informative. Like I was impressed. I'm all, oh, I learned something, you know? And so
the Angels.
Yeah. I'm like, if we could, you know, if he can get those, if he can get the outfield in line, like, I don't know, you know, there's some, like, maybe the Angels will give me some hope again, you know? So we'll see.
Yeah. We're not, I don't think anyone is rooting against the Angels. We really just all know to hate their owner by now. So if he's not going to sell, maybe he can just like get out of his own way.
Yeah. Probably not though. I mean, we can hope.
Probably not.
Well, so that to me is the most exciting free agent to think about.
I think so too. Yamamoto. I will definitely write a song if the Cardinals sign Yamamoto.
Ooh, I expect full production with that, Kelsey.
Yeah, well, I'll make a music video and everything.
Right. Honestly, I cannot wait to see like all the memes and puns and things that come out of it. Because I can really see like the Yoshi with, I don't know, it's going to be like Super Nintendo over here. And
I just hope whichever team signs him that, yeah, like their fan base is so excited. And that he gets to feed off of that excitement of, you know, getting to come to a Major League Baseball team and make a huge impact right away.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to go. Cause I've heard that same thing that the New York teams are probably the favorites, but he's one of those guys that you have to assume everybody who can be is in on.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's just it. I think like he's such a wild card because I mean, this is his MLB debut and I think like who wouldn't go after him?
Yeah. Jordan Montgomery is a guy that we all have feelings towards one way or another these days. He is up for grabs as well. He's another Scott Boras client, but obviously he just had himself a hell of a World Series, a hell of a postseason run, really. Where do we see Jordan Montgomery?
Honestly, I see him signing back with the Rangers.
It sounds like that's what he wants.
From
what I have heard, there was definitely conversation had with him when he was traded away from St. Louis, just to communicate to him that like, dude, we're not trading you because we don't want you here. We're trading you here because we fucked this up. So go get a ring. And then, you know, hopefully we can talk and bring you back. But Scott Boras is going to get that man a boatload of cash. He absolutely earned it.
I don't
see the Cardinals meeting that payday, but I would love to have him back. I agree. I think the Rangers is probably the most likely. Any chance the Yankees make a run for Jay Money?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're definitely going to put their name in the bucket, but I think it's pretty unlikely because, well, obviously given their past, right? But the Yankees have two lefties in the rotation, so they really don't need another one.
Yeah.
So that makes it even more like unlikely to me. Although I did read that he said, and I don't know if this is true, but supposedly he said he would like to return to the Rangers, Cardinals, or Yankees.
Oh, that sounds like a very Jordan Montgomery thing to say. I believe it.
I know. Like, I think he's just like, I got to leave my doors open. So,
yeah.
Well, and another name in the pitching world, Blake Snell, he's going to have a huge campaign out for him as well. Like, you know, he's likely going to get the NL Cy Young.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, he's winning the Cy Young for sure.
Phillies need a lefty.
So yeah. I really don't know where I see him fitting. Do you think the Phillies would sign Blake Snell over? I know Blake Snell and Aaron Nola, very different pitchers fundamentally. Do they go for Blake Snell over bringing Aaron Nola back?
I think because they need a lefty in their rotation, what I've read is that there's talks that he could be traded to, or not traded, picked up by the Padres, and then likewise, they would pick up Aaron Nola.
Oh, so, just going to do a little flip-flop.
That's what I've, but I don't know. Maybe that's just a bold prediction.
Interesting.
I could see it though. I could see him being in Philly.
I read something saying that he wanted to go back home, which is Seattle. I was like, no, no, absolutely not. You're not allowed to go to Seattle.
I could see that though.
Like that pitching rotation needs no bolster.
Yeah. I was gonna say, they don't necessarily have the biggest need for him, but depending on what kind of trades they're willing to work out with the Cardinals, they could have Blake Snell and we would take some of that pitching off their hands.
And see, like, I'm so confused by Blake Snell in and of himself because besides this past season, his Cy Young winning season, and then his former like Cy Young winning season, like the middle seasons have not been great.
Right.
You know, so I'm all so when you signed Blake Snell, like which Blake Snell are you getting? Are you gonna get like an amalgamation of all the seasons like mixed? Are you gonna like what's happening? Because you know, and obviously, I would assume that whatever club picked him up would know obviously to like look past like the whip numbers and you know like he really wouldn't walk the world, but you know the fact that he's like you know screw it, like the name of the game is to not let anybody score, and I'm not going to let anybody score, like but I'm going to put this guy on and just and go after the next guy that's going to be easier to get out, you know, and so I'm all. You're playing a dangerous game, Blake Snell, but I like it. Like that's makes me excited, you know? And so I'm like, I don't know if that would make some front offices kind of like shy away from him, you know? And they're like, this game that you're playing is not sustainable.
I agree. That's why I don't like him for the Cardinals specifically, but I think you make a really good point in that he fits in. He is one of those pitchers that fits in to a specific organization and fits in with a specific team. Whereas like somebody like Jordan Montgomery, Yamamoto is like really clean, beautiful, effortless. Yeah. Don't have to worry about, you know, a lot of potential injuries or like what you're going to get out of him in terms of consistency. Even Aaron Nola is like just
workhorse,
very fundamentally sound. Yeah. I absolutely agree with Blake Snell. There's like just too much risk there for me, which is crazy because, you know, you can't argue with the results, but oh man. Yeah. It would be terrible for my blood pressure to have him on my team. And I just think there's too much risk there for him to get the same level of contract that some of these other guys are going to get just by his style of pitching. But the thing that I heard some people talking about that I thought was really interesting was because the other thing I don't like about Blake Snell is that, you know, he's the five and diver. Like he doesn't throw past five innings, even if he only has 70 pitches, but how much of that does he have any say in? Because you know, he's not like, come get the ball from me. Like, okay, I made my, you know, I did my five innings, come get me. I'm ready to be done. Like that's not him making that decision. And especially with where he's at in his career, would he be a part of an organization that, you know, lets him dictate that a little bit more. And if he has the ability to, you know, go six or seven innings, then why the hell not? Like at least let him try it. And maybe that changes his overall approach to the game as well. Because right now he's like, if he knows with the Padres that they're going to pull him after five innings, like who cares if he throws a 12 pitch at bat to every batter because he doesn't have to be economical.
Right.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of interesting things about Blake Snell specifically. And Cody Bellinger is another one of these guys. He's next on our list here who like signed this 1-year deal. The Cubs took a chance on him kind of because he had basically washed up.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's back. So we kind of already talked about him, Jonna. You said Cubs and Yankees sound like the biggest contenders. That's what I've heard too. What do you think? But Cubs or Yankees or
about that I've been saying the entire time that people are overlooking is that he's a little bit of a head case. And I think he gets in his own head, which we saw in LA at the end. And I think like this year was an exception. Obviously his early years in LA were phenomenal. Right. But the last few years, not so phenomenal at all. In fact, he like literally almost lost his job, his starting job. And so my thing is like, can he handle New York? Because there a lot of people can't, and I worry that he's one of those guys. So that's what I've been saying, but that's my thing with him. And also the whole like long contract thing, like I don't know that we can tie ourselves up to another one of those. So
that's a really good point.
Yeah, I think he stays with the Cubs, especially now that like that Craig Counsell is over there. Mm-hmm. Like I think the only reason he opted out was so that he could get his payday and you know, and if the Cubs are doing this whole push, you know, that it seems to me like they wouldn't shy away from giving Bellinger that long contract that he wants, because you know he performed this year.
I totally agree. Yeah. And like obviously they're looking to rebuild or build on now to what they built last year, which they were far more competitive than I think any of us thought that they would be. So I can see them trying to hang on to him for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense too. And from what you said, like he found success there. So he has obviously found some level of comfortability there, even with them changing up their coaching staff. That only says to him more, yeah, like we're in it to win it and we're in it to win it soon. So stick with us. So I think on both sides, it probably just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
I totally agree.
Well, it's going to be fun to see. I think it might be a while until we get a lot of, like Ohtani is going to wait until like a week before spring training to sign. And it's just going to keep us all talking and having good things to talk and write about all off season long. But the other thing that we have gotten a lot of excitement about already is manager musical chairs. We mentioned Carlos Mendoza left the Yankees as bench coach to go manage the Mets, which I think makes a lot of sense. They dismissed Buck Showalter, bringing in a new first-time manager. It's really exciting because he is the first full-time manager from Venezuela other than Azeguian. So great to have that representation there. And it just kind of makes sense that with, you know, David Stearns coming in and the shakeup of everything there at the top for the Mets, that they've got a fresh face in the dugout as well. And then the musical chairs keep going around because Bob Melvin, he was managing the Padres. He's going to stay in California, but he's going to replace pretty boy Gabe Kepler. And we will see him managing the Giants. That was interesting. Did you gals feel any kind of way about that?
No.
It's fine. No.
I was like, well, I mean, I kind of knew that, you know, what the reports of the Padres.
Yeah, Melvin and Preller.
Like, yeah, just not, you know, and I'm like, it makes sense, you know. And the fact that the Padres would even allow anybody to come talk to him, you know, just they're like, please just come take him. I'm all,
yeah.
Ooh, okay.
It was like an easy way for them not to have to fire another manager. Mm-hmm. And but to kind of just let that situation fizzle itself out.
Yeah.
And then we talked about Ron Washington, who is replacing Phil Nevin with the Angels. So Phil Nevin was fired by the Angels. Ron Washington comes over from the Braves. He also previously managed the Texas Rangers. I mean, he's had a hell of a career and a hell of a story, but it seems like Artie Moreno has done something that might be good for his team. So that'll be really fun and exciting to watch. But Phil Nevin is still looking for his seat. He's still circling with the music. He is interviewing for the Padres job, right?
I believe so. Yeah. So someone's looking for another former Yankees coach.
Yes.
That's your guy. He needs a job too.
Oh yeah. I love him actually. Bill Espada, we talked about, is going to manage the Astros, and that'll be all made official and pretty tomorrow. But we've got, we've still got vacancies with the Padres,
the Brewers.
Oh, Stephen Vogt, who is a former backup catcher, is going to manage the Guardians, which I think is so fun and exciting. I love the backup catchers as managers, and I loved his vibe as a player, and I think that's going to be really fun to watch what he does with that group as well. But the big one that made us all, you know, clutch our pearls and say, what, was Craig Counsell, who is my favorite manager in Major League Baseball right now, has been for a while. He was managing the Brewers, his hometown Brewers, who he finished his career with. And he said, I'm sorry, Brewers, I've got to go where the money is at and where I probably think I have a better chance to win a championship. They're going to pay me a lot more, an hour and a half south. And he is now the manager of the Chicago Cubs. But the biggest drama with all of that was that the Cubs hadn't fired David Ross yet. You know, Grandpa Rossi, their beloved 2016 champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. We didn't hate him. But when you got Craig Counsell, you got to go for it, right?
Yeah. Apparently they're like, we're not good enough, David Ross. Nah, you know, yeah.
You were here.
If Craig Counsell turned us down, we would stay with you, but
man, do we think David Ross? Where
David Ross is going to go, I think, is the biggest question mark for me.
Yeah,
I think David Ross needs to go to the Brewers, and just
I do too.
That right? Like just swap.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, who would be more fired
hilarious.
Up?
Just wife swap it and and call it a day.
Nobody would be more driven to make shit happen with the Brewers right now than David Ross. Like, let's be honest.
And his options are dwindling away at this point because the Yankees offered him the bench coach position and he said he wants a manager job. So
really? Mm-hmm. Oh, then he's got stuff in the works.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
This just came out today. So how hilarious would that be though? You're right. Fans would be like, so
they wouldn't know what to do at that point. They'd be like, do I boo? Am I happy? Like what's happening here?
It would be so great for baseball, for the fans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it would be a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, if the shoe fits,
it could happen.
We'll see. But yeah, that at least has been honestly, like, as weird as it's been exciting. And we've had a lot of fun things to follow and to talk about. And I won't step on my Craig Counsell soapbox and tell you my whole emotional processing of it. If you want to listen to it, I talked about it on Peace, Love, and Baseball last week. I also talked about it on Bourbon and Baseball this week. So I will not rant and rave about it anymore, but I'm all kinds of tormented mentally, physically, emotionally. And that one really threw me.
Yeah.
And Rosenthal, he like pulled out the drama too. Mm-hmm. Are you guys actively following? Like, I saw that tweet of him being like, he's going to decide in the next couple of hours. Everyone will know. He is going to manage next year, but it won't be with the Brewers, and it's with a team that currently has a
manager. It was a series of like all day, just like what?
Yeah, I've never refreshed so much in my entire life. I was
still have alerts from Ken Rosenthal like going.
Oh, you
right
got
now.
To this time of year?
Yeah,
I know.
I was like, wait, does that? Am I reading this correctly? Does that mean what I think it means? Like, at some point, don't you think that they would be like, oh my God, is David Ross going to find out that he was fired via Twitter?
Yeah.
Like, surely.
Well,
there was a second there where I thought maybe Aaron Boone was going to find out on Twitter that he had been really.
I thought the same thing about Ollie Marmol, because quite honestly, I think there's a number of organizations, if given that same exact situation, they would have done the same thing. Like, it's not that we're necessarily looking to get rid of somebody, but when something better comes along, what are you going to do?
Well, so I read a story that basically stated that, like, in the final hours, Jed Hoyer finally called David Ross and was like, hey, this is happening. And he's all, oh, okay.
Wow.
All right. Like, what? Yeah, I mean,
there's no comfortable way to do that.
Yeah.
So
and Jed Hoyer was like, you know, we really appreciate like all you've done and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, obviously not. Because if you did, I'd still be the manager, you know? Yeah. And so I was all, oh, all right. Like, maybe, I don't know, like maybe if you're a Cubs manager, maybe at some point you just sleep with one eye open, because it kind of seems like a pattern now.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard Yan Gomes talking about it, and he, the Cubs, one of the Cubs catchers, and he had said that they, the team, like, or at least he found out minutes before we all did on Twitter. So it, when I heard that, I was like, okay, I have to imagine that David Ross at least found out a little bit before.
But the fact that it was like a throwaway line in like,
yeah,
we're welcoming Craig Counsell to the Cubs, blah, blah, blah. And we thank David Ross for his, I'm like,
I couldn't, totally
you couldn't give David crazy. Ross like his own.
Right.
At least like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But
so shitty. So we feel for you, David Ross. And, but he will, yeah, he will land on his feet somewhere. He's a man of many talents and he gets to decide where to take him. So, yeah, I mean, we've had plenty to talk about so far. It's obviously kept us plenty busy this evening, and I look forward to continuing to break it all down. It's so funny because we're, like, so sad that baseball is over, but the carousel does not stop. Yeah. It is still fully in motion, and we'll be back to talk about it all, whether it's with me on Peace, Love, and Baseball and here at Babes Babes, or we're going to throw all of Susie's information, her socials, as well as obviously where you can find her and listen to all her content in our show notes here. And Jana's got all the goods for us on the Yankees all year round. We're going to start putting out some written content as well. So we'll throw that. We've actually got a website created that we'll throw that in the show notes too. So if you're not already got that bookmarked, you know, for all your good stuff, subscribed to us here on YouTube. If you are watching Babes Babes, and then we've got, we're at Babes Babes Podcast on Twitter. Yes.
At Babes Babes Pod. On Twitter.
On Twitter.
The character limits. And then pod at Babes Babes Podcast on
Instagram. But yeah, basically, you just find one of them. You click here in the show notes and you'll find us everywhere you want to listen or watch. What would be really great is if you can, you know, leave us a 5-star review. 5 stars. If you're not gonna leave 5 stars, don't leave a review or don't rate. If you're not going to say that we're all beautiful and wonderful and super smart, then don't leave a review. But if you want to review it and say that, go for it, because that would be accurate. And most importantly, tell your friends, share the show, send this to somebody you love and who loves baseball, and we will catch you next time. Have a great night.